Okay, Rabbeisai. Today's daf is daf Yud Ches. We're holding four lines from the bottom of Yud Zayin Amid Beis. We already started talking about the fact that Shlomo HaMelech added 10 more Shulchanos to the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu in the Beis HaMikdash. What was the purpose of these Shulchanos? We had a machloikis yesterday in the Gemara. The first man, the Yomah, says, Lo yihav mesader ela b'shel Moshe b'lvad. Even though the 10 new additional tables, they were only Moshe Rabbeinu's table. Moshe Rabbeinu's Shulchan was used every week for the Lechem Hapanim. Well, Rabbi Yehuda said, no, al kulan hayim mesader. And you remember the Karban Eida said, pa'amim bezeh, upa'amim bezeh. There was effectively a rotation. Now the Gemara continues talking about these additional 10 tables. Four lines from the bottom. Zok de Braisa, Tani, Mizruch umarav hoyu nesunim, Divrei Rebbe. These shulchanos were set up between Mincha and Marav. What does it mean between Mizruch and Marav? What does that mean? It means that the shulchan was on the Sofein side of the Heichal. And in fact, that's a requirement. The Gemara quoted 10 lines before the bottom of the Omud. The Shulchan in the Mishkan, as well as the Shulchan in the Beis HaMikdash, had to be on the northern wall. Northern wall means that when you're entering into the Heichal from the Ulam, it's on your right hand side, because you're going in from the east, facing the Kodesh Kadoshim on the west. So to your right hand side is the Shulchan. And the Shulchan has to be al Tzelat Sofein. So now if all additional 10 shulchanos, together with Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, were all Mizrach Umarav, that's perfect. Why is that perfect? Because the dimensions of the Heichel were 40 by 20. That means the depth of the Heichel. As you walk into the Heichel, you go straight ahead before you get to the Kodesh Kadoshim, 40 amos. Each one of the shulchanos, it says in the Torah, the shulchan was Amasayim Arkai. So if you have now 11 times 2 comes out to roughly 22. And since you have the space of 40, you got plenty of space. So if they were going from Mizrach to Marav, or Marav to Mizrach, all the Shulchanos were on the Tzofin side, that's great. That's going to be problematic. Tzofin V'dorim Hayin Nesunim means that when you looked into the Heichel, when you walked into the Heichel, you saw a string of tables, shulchanos, extending from the right to the left, covering the entire wall where you would have to go through to enter into the Kodesh Kadoshim. It's going from Tzofin to Darim. And from Tzofin to Darim was only 20 amos altogether. And here you're talking about 11 shulchanos. So even without the additional shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, just having 10 is going to be very difficult, because you can't really squeeze 20 into 20. Just like whenever you're trying to squeeze something into a box, if it's exactly the same size, it's not going to fit. It's got to be a little bit smaller. So we got a big problem over here, and that's what the Gemara asks. Man, the Omar Mizrachim Marav Nicha, Kulein Ruin L'Sheirs. You could use all of them, even if you're only going to use the one of Moshe Rabbeinu, but they have to be Roy L'Sheirs, and they're all on Tzelet Sofein, and that's great. But man, the Omar Tzelet V'Dorim, Nimtze Shulchan V'Dorim. If you're going to say Tzofin Bedarim, then the Shulchan, either the Shulchan of Moshe Rabbeinu, is going to be Bedarim, or even if you're talking about not Moshe Rabbeinu Shulchan, all the Shulchanos, five of them are going to be Bedarim, because there's only 20 across, that is from Tzofin to Darim, from right to left, and you have over here 11 Shulchanos, so the maximum number of Shulchanos that you'll have on the Tzofin side will be five. Even that fifth one is going to jut out a drop past the halfway line. Let's say five, good. But what about all the other shulchanos? Nimtza, all the other shulchanos are going to be bedarim. Especially if Moshe Rabbeinu is the one in the middle, since we said five to the right and five to the left. That means Moshe Rabbeinu's shulchan is going to be, by definition, in the Dorim side. Because we're going to start 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you hit the halfway line, and then Moshe Rabbeinu's, and there won't be room for the others either. So all of this is very problematic, and the Gemara stays, if you will, with a take, where the Gemara doesn't give an answer. In Bavli, the Gemara talks about this at much greater length, and there are other types of cheshbonos. Maybe it was in front of the other 10, and maybe they weren't standing to the orech, but rather to the rochav. not the length of the tables, but to the width of the tables.
Also 5x5, right? Two rows of 5x5.
Exactly. So there are all types of cheshbonos in Masechtas Menachos dealing with this, but our Yerushalmi feels that the answer is like the first man, the Yomar, that it was Mizrach Marib and not Tzafim Vedarim, and therefore it doesn't, shall I say, waste time in going through all of the acrobatics of figures. The halacha is like the first man, the Yomar, as I is this, and we could ask more kashis on the other Tzafim Vedarim, but we don't need to, because it was Mizrach Marib. And now there are a couple of extra words that the Taklan Charetim takes out. We are not Goyris Umenoyra Mitzafim Vaha, but rather we start from Tani. We learned in the Braitza, for those of you that are not sure where I'm getting this from, if you look at the Taklan Charetim down below, the second wide line, you see it says Hochi Garsinan, Tani Hashulchan HaYinosan, so you see he takes out these three words. Okay. Ijokti Mar. Tani we learned in the Braitza Hashulchan HaYinosan Mechatzi HaBayis Falefnim Moshech Men HaKoysel Beis Amas Umechza Klapi HaTzofek V'mnayri Kenegdoi Bedorad. What is all of this about? If you enter into the Heichal, as we said before, you have 40 by 20. So 40 is the length or the depth of the Heichal as you're walking in from the door of the Heichal till you hit the Kodesh Kadoshim. That would be 40 amas. And then from right to left, the width of the Heichal is 20 amas. Okay. We're going to take that 40 by 20, we're going to divide it now into two segments. So, when you're entering into the Heichal, the first 20, a square 20 by 20, that was one area, and now go beyond that. The next area again is 20 by 20. That's the halfway point in the Heichal is 20 by 20, and then another 20 by 20 following that until you get to the Kodesh Kodashim. What this Bryce is telling us is that all three major kalim that were in the Heichal, which is the Shulchan and the Menorah and the Mizbeach HaZov, were all in that second segment, not the first 20 by 20, but the second 20 by 20, which was the side that was closer to the Kodesh Kodesh. So therefore, when you entered into the Heichal, you had a nice space of 20 by 20, which was basically empty, and only you got to the three after you went beyond the 20 Amma line. So repeating this to the Brice again. Tony Shulchan. Tony. Hashulchan hayinosam mechatzi habayis v'lefnim. It was from the second half and further in. Moshech merakoysel v'zamasum mechza klapi atzofin. It was removed from the tzofin wall. It wasn't smack against the wall. It was 2.5 amas removed from the wall. U'menoyer kenegi b'dorim. And the menoyer was parallel to it on the dorim side. So they saw each other, so to speak. This was 2.5 removed. This was 2.5 removed. And they were both within that second half of the Heichal. Mizbeach Hazov also has Hoyin Nosun, the Emtza Bayis, meaning that the Mizbeach, what the end of the Mizbeach, or the front of the Mizbeach, if you're coming in from the Heichal, the front of the Mizbeach stood at the 20 Amma line, but within the second 20 Ammas, not within the first 20 Ammas. As we said before, everything was in that second 20 Ammas. So it was b'emtza bayis, choylik is a bayis mechetz v'lefnim. So therefore, it was choylik is a bayis. It itself was like the line of demarcation where the mizbeach ended or began, depending where you're standing, what your perspective is. That's where the first 20 ended and the second 20 amas began. But it was moshach kima klapi chutz. What that means is that if you were standing at the menorah and you were looking at the shulchan, don't think that the Mizbeach was blocking your vision because it was in the middle. It was not in the middle because it was pushed a little bit towards the front of the Heichal. Not that it went beyond the 20 Amma line. No. It was still within that 20 Amma segment. But nevertheless, it was not smack in the middle between the Menorah and the Shulchan. It was Moshuch Kima. It was pulled down a little bit, Klapi Chutz, towards the outside. And the Braisa says, the Kulan Hoyinosin Mishlish Bayis Falefnim. And all of that was within the third of the Bayis Falefnim. The third of the Bayis Falefnim. We started off the Braisa was Nosin Michatzi HaBayis Falefnim. And now you're concluding Mishlish Bayis Falefnim, an obvious stira. And the Taklan Charetim, the other Mefarshim, give a very simple teretz. The first part of the Braisa is referring only to the 40 by 20 dimensions of the Heichal. The second part of the Braisa is throwing in the Kodesh Kodashim, which itself was 20 by 20. So if you start from the beginning of the Heichal till the end of the Kodesh Kodashim, you have 60 by 20 60 by 20. So after the first third of the 60 ends, that's when the Mizbeach and the other two appear in that second third. So it's the same cheshbon, it's just not a half of 40, it's a third of 60. But Kulyam Moed, it's in the second 20 by 20 portion, segment of the Teichot. Now just like we spoke about the Ten Shulchanos, now we start a virtually identical discussion about the Menorah, that as a Menorah is also Shleim. Now none of this is Chazal in terms of Torah Shebal Peh, Gemaris, Midrashim, it's a Pasuk, Shenema. Just like we had a pasuk by the Shulchan, we have now a pasuk by the Menorah. V'yase v'Menorah Hazot, Eser k'mishpatoi. He made the 10. The reason why, when we are not that familiar with these psukim in Tanakh, when I say we, I'm not as familiar, is because these are psukim in Divrei Hayomim. And most of us, even if we've gotten through the entire Nevi'im, and even Ksuvim, Divrei Hayomim is still quite a stretch down the end of Tanakh, so many of us don't get to it, but we ask Menorah Hazav, Esr Mishpatoi, there were 10 additional Menorah, V'itim Heichel Hashem, Miyamin, I'm sorry, V'itim Heichel, Hei Miyamin, Behei Mismot, 5 to the right and 5 to the left of the Menorah. So now the Gemara says, In Teima, Chomish V'tzofim, Chomish V'dorim, V'aleinam Menorah, Kishera, Ele B'doroim, Shnemar, exactly, the identical question that we asked yesterday about the Shulchan, which was B'tzofim, we're asking about the Menorah now, which was B'dorim. So Dorim, again, you're entering into the Heichel, Menorah is on your left-hand side.
Like this picture?
It's a beautiful picture. Yay. Good. But you're entering here from the Heichel, and so just like here, the Shulchan is on the right, and this is on the left. And you have the golden altar is there in the middle, 20 hours.
This is the Mizbeach?
That's the Mizbeach.
Okay, so
it was a little bit larger than the picture, but
no, that's all it is.
Yeah.
Because I have all these Shulchan that we're talking about,
right.
Are these this, or is it inside? No, it's these, right?
This picture does not show the 10 Shulchanos, it doesn't show the 10 Menorahs.
I mean, potentially, where would they be?
That's a very good question. So that's the Machlokes. And based on the Gemara's conclusion, they would all be lined up against this wall.
Against, but outside this.
And when I say against the wall, it doesn't mean necessarily that they were actually touching the wall. It means that they were removed, just like this table was removed, 2.5 amas from this wall in this direction. So the other would be 5 here, 5 over there, and because you're talking about 11 altogether, then the outer shulchan would go beyond the 20.
It would encroach into the first square 20 by 20.
Absolutely. Because you have 22. So it's probably 22 in a drop, because each shulchan can be exact. Yes, let's sum. So it's a drop more. So we would end over here approximately. We would meet the first shulchan end over here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Over here. We have 11. Okay? Good? So far, so good. We're going to have the same
but the extra ones, that's the issue.
You don't see them in the picture. If you're not happy with the picture, you can sue Artscroll. But they're not in the picture. And the Menorah, you have 11 here, again starting from here, and you go 11 altogether. Okay, so the first one will protrude beyond the 20 on the line. Good. And that's only if you're saying that that's the way before the formation. One half a minute is that the 5 were 5 to the right and 5 to the left. That means that this Menorah is going to be pushed into the middle, and perhaps even beyond the middle, into the Tzofim side, in the northern side.
That's illegal.
That's illegal, exactly. That's why we have to go and set them up this way.
So then the tables would have been inside this white.
Yeah. Anyway, now we're talking about the Menorahs, correct? If you're going from here to here with the Menorahs, the very first Menorah will be beyond the 20 Amma line, will be within the first 20 Ammas.
Okay? It's more than one Menorah?
That's a very good question. So why Gemara
from
you asking excellent questions. In the times of Moshe, in the times of the Torah, there was only one Menorah. It's a very illuminating comment. When it comes to Shlomo Melech, he built another 10. That's what the Gemara is telling us.
But then Sachakol is 11.
Exactly.
Where did he get the instruction to do so?
That was a question that Robert asked about 15 minutes ago. And the answer is, I don't think it says anywhere the Feirish in the Pasuk that Hashem told him to make another 10 Menorahs, but there is a Pasuk that says, HaKol B'yad Hashem Olai Hiskil, that when Shlomo Melech built the Beis HaMikdash, it was all based on blueprints that were blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So presumably, HaKadosh Baruch Hu either told him, or he suggested, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu agreed to the suggestion to add 10 Shulchanos and to add 10 Menorahs. But now we have to find out exactly where in the Heichel were these 10, the 5 and the 5. Says Imar. In Taimar, if you're going to go and tell me Chomish Betzafet, Bechomish Bedarim, 5 of them were on the northern side, 5 were on the southern side. And the reason why the Gemara has this Havamina is because the Gemara is assuming that since it says V'itim V'heichel, Hey Miyamin, V'hei Mesmoil, that means 5 on the right hand side of the Heichel, 5 on the left hand side of the Heichel. And since from right to left in the Heichel means going from north to south, that means all of these Menorahs extended from north to south. But that's no good. But the Eina Menorah K'sheil El Bedorah. Just like the Shulchan has to be Betzela Sofayim, the Menorah has to be Noichach HaShulchan on Teimana, on the southern side. She never be Esa Menorah Noichach HaShulchan, corresponding, Al Yerach HaMishkan Teimana. So Ibarzai, Moshe Rabbeinu's Menorah is not going to be against the wall or close to the southern wall. It's going to be basically smack in the middle and perhaps even more to the side of the tzofin. Meaning if you're going to start counting or start
lying up,
shkoyach, standing up the menorahs from the left-hand wall, that's the Dorim wall, one after the other, after the other, after the other, by the time you got to your fifth menorah, you're already at the halfway point in the Heichel, and now Moshe Rabbeinu's, which is going to be in the middle, is now going to be on the Tzofin side instead of on the Dorim side. Oy vavoy. So what are we going to go and do?
Like the Meshulchan, the menorahs are 2 amos wide.
Yeah.
That's your arithmetic.
That's my arithmetic is based on that. But yeah. You're right. It may be slightly different. But nevertheless, it wouldn't fit. Is Matam Loimer Chomish Miyamin v'Chomish Mismoila v'Chomish Miyamin Menorahs Shel Moshe v'Chomish Mismoila, that in fact it was all 10 on the southern wall, and we started from the Kodesh Kedoshim, in other words, from the west, going towards the east, lining them all up, and therefore there was no problem. They were all next to the Durham wall instead of the Tuffer wall, so Alf is good. After the Kimlo Yamaber, Elisha Moshe Vavod, but nevertheless, we only use Moshe and Babes. Menorah Shanim, Menorah Shazov, Menorah Seah, it says Menorah. So you see, Menorah is singular. But if it's Rabbi Yehuda, Oymer, Kulam Oyemavish, Nevesam Noyris, Noyrois, Venerosim, Levaran Kamishwa, Lefnei Hadvir, Zov Sogol. Notice who's this man, the Yama, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, and that was the same man, the Yama, as yesterday. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who's the one that said, Al Kulan Hayah Mesader, same Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says today, Al Kulan Hayah Mavir. So it's very consistent. Good. Zog Vait. Now we have a new pasuk. Now this first pasuk that we had ends off Zohav Sogur, closed gold. What does that mean? Yes. We'll get to that in a moment. Yes. So we start a new pasuk. Va'perech va'neirois va'melkachaim Zohav hu michlois Zohav. That the perech and neirois va'melkachaim, in other words, all of the klesharis that we use together with menorah, all were made out of gold. And the lashon of michlois, which means to end, Zoktimura Michlois Zov Hein Kilu Zovoi Shel Moshe. Shouldn't say Shel Moshe, the Taknacharitan says Shel Shloime. Hein Kilu Zovoi Shel Shloime. So on the Poshet, it sounds like that after Shloime Melech made these additional menorahs and all of these Kreisharis with the menorah, that from that point on, there was no more Zov available. In other words, he used up all the available Zov in the land. The Gemara Menachos, whoever asks, that doesn't sound right. If you look at the Takan Chadatin on the right hand margin, 4 lines from the bottom, Kilu Zahavi Shov Shloima, you see it's Gerdi Shov Shloima, the Menachas Parach Hasim, Voxiv the Chol Kli, Ein Kesev Nechshim Bimei Shloima Lema Uma. There was so much silver that silver didn't have any real value. People had silver, everybody had 10,000 pieces of silver, so it's Gornish Mit Gornish. So in Bazoi, what are you telling me that it was Michloi Sov, there was no Zov left? Zot Yimora, Mishani Zov Sogur Ka'amrinan. We're talking about Zov Sogur, and that's the previous passage. So what means Zov Sogur? So our Gemara doesn't go into it, Mefarshim explains Zov Sogur means that this was such a refined piece of gold, a refined quality of gold, to the point that when a person advertised, I sell Zohav Sogur, all other stores and all other entrepreneurs and all other craftsmen all had to close up shop because nobody was interested in buying their gold because their gold was considered to be of inferior quality. And the way for the word Sogur means that they all closed up their shops. They didn't bother opening for business because nobody would stand online either physically or on the computer to go and buy their gold because it was inferior. So that's what he means. The quality of the gold that was used by Shlomo Melech caused all other gold to be worthless almost, because there was no demand for it, and all of the other stores had to close up. That's the Zof Sukkah. And the Gemara is going to go into it now in great detail. Tony Rav Yehuda b'shem Asi, ho yishloimen noitel elef kikri zov, machnisan lekor, umaitzion achu mamidon al echad. To go and show you how refined the gold was, they took the gold, 1,000 kikar, they put it into the furnace, and they did this a number of times, until all you had left from the original 1,000 was just one kikar, which is 1/10 of 1%, right? 1 out of 100 would be 1%, 1/10 of 1%, showing you how well refined this was to remove all of the impurities in the gold, so it should be as pure as possible. The Kaima Shinemar, Kikar Zov Tor, Asa Oisa, that's the Tahara, not in terms of going into the mikvah, Tahara means the purity of the quality of the gold. And although our Gemara keeps on saying, it uses the expression of Shlomo Melech, but here, Pitak Mechavitin says Shlomo Moshe, that when Moshe Rabbeinu made them, he would put them into the core, and that's how it came out so pure. And this is consistent with the pasuk, because the pasuk that we're quoting, Kikar Zov Tor, Yah Pasa Isa, is Moshe Rabbeinu, this is not Shlomo Melech. It's Tanya, Om Rabbi Yossi Bei Rabbi Yehuda, Maas Ben Amoris Zov She'osa Moshe Ben Midbar, Voisi Yaseira Dinner Zov, the Moshe, they made the Menorah of Moshe, and it was Yaseira, it was Dinner Zov, more than what the weight was supposed to be. V'chnisu the kor Shmoinim Pam, and they put it into the kor, into the oven, 80 times! V'lechaser Klum. And guess what? They took it out the 80th time, it was still the same weight of the kikar, together with one extra dinner. And Ebezoi is Rechshveh. Hey, you told me you put it in so many times.
A thousand times.
And from the 1,000 went down to 1. And here you're telling me that you put it in 80 times and it remained exactly the same. That doesn't sound right.
How did you get from 1,000 to 1?
What impurity.
That would say that there's a huge amount of impurity.
Right. 999%.
Right.
Impurity. So, exactly.
Okay, sounds...
Sounds incredible.
Incredible.
Fantastic.
Impurity. That wasn't even gold. That was like...
An alloy.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So maybe, people, maybe. You don't know, people in those times, what passed for gold might have been very very diluted.
Okay. Right.
You have to speak to a goldsmith. So getting back to Agamara here, 80 times in Lechoser Klum, so to more V.O.S., Sinishver, Ad Leokim Al Berore Havachoser Sagin, until it reached its highest degree and level of purity, a lot would fall away. Choser Sagin, a lot would fall. However, Mindo Kayim Abrari, once it got to its full Beriris, it was totally
purified,
refined to the point that it was now perfect. Choser Klum, from this point on, nothing would fall off, nothing would be burned off. It was now at the highest level of purity. Zok the Mishnah. We remember, how do we get into all of this? Because we started off our perek on Test Vav Amid Beis, saying that there's Shloisha Osir Sheifarais, the 13 Pushkis, Shloisha Osir Shulchanis, 13 tables, Shloisha Osir Hishtachavois. So we first discussed the 13 Hishtachavois. We just got finished talking about the 13 Shulchanis, and then we got from the Shulchan to the Menorah, and now we're going to talk about the 13 Pushkis. Zok the Mishnah. Shloisha Osir Sheifarais Hayiba Mikdash Rukosav Aleim. Each one of them was written on them, the specific purpose for that shofar. So these 13 were not interchangeable. Each one had a specific purpose. The first one's written, Taklin Chadatin. The Gemara, the Mishnah itself, is going to explain shortly all the 13, so we can go through the names quickly. Taklin Chadatin means the new Machtzis HaShekel. Taklin means Shkolim. Chadatin means new Shkolim. Taklin Atikin, that means the old Machtzis HaShekel from the previous year. The Kinin, typically Kinin means a pair of oifis, we'll see shortly. The Goizoli Oila Poshet, that means single oifis, again we'll see shortly. Eitzim, a person who's menadav Eitzim l'ma'arocha, wood for the Mizbeach. Levoina, special incense. Zohav l'chfoiris, Poshet Pshat Zohav l'chfoiris, there was only one kapoiris, and that was the lid on top of the oray. The question is, you had to have the Zohav all the time, and that's what most of the Mefarshim say, that it's not to be read kapoiris, but l'chfoirois. What means l'chfoirois? L'chfoirois means multiple kalim that were used as klishoris in the Beis HaMikdash. And the reason why the Mara refers to, the Mishnah refers to Chafoyrois, is because there are psukim that talk about the Mizrakim as being Chafoyrois, Chafoyrois Zohav, and therefore it's just adapting that Lushan. And Chazal tells us the reason why it was called Chafoyrois, because it was used for purpose of, he would go and cleanse off the fingers of the Kohen after he did the Zrika. He would go and clean off his fingers by kind of scraping them at the top, at the edge of the kli, and that's why it was mechaper in a sense, not mechaper in the lashon kapara, but a lashon of cleansing physically. Anyway, so therefore the word chfoyrois over here means multiple klisharis and people donating gold for that purpose. So we went through seven altogether. Taklin chadatim, one. Taklin tikin is two. Kim is three. Goes over the others, four. Eight is five. Lewain is six. Zov chfoyrois is seven. Shish nedava, six more were for nedava, meaning for oilois the kayetz and mizbech. Vos epi six. Mechem will have a three-way machloikis on the Amud Beis at the conclusion of today's daf and yetzushah. And the Mishnah continues. Taklin chadatim shibuchal shana v'shana. There you put in the coins of every year when people would go and donate the machzor shekel. It went into that pushka. Atikin mishloi hevi eshtakid. Whoever didn't bring previous year shoyk l'shana ba. In other words, for some reason, a person didn't give his master shekel for last year, and now he's come to the Beis Migdash and he's giving his master shekel for this year. He gives for both, for this year and for last year. And for last year, it goes into a separate pushka called the Atikin Pushka. What did they do with Atikin Pushka? It's already from last year. So we had already in the Mishnah, Daf Yud Amud Beis, the communal purposes that they use the Shiori HaLishka, money that was left over in the Lishka at the end of the year. And here, you have money left over because he brought it the year later. So you use those for Shiori Lishka. I in the Mishnah Yud Amud Beis. Getting back to our Mishnah over here, now we get to the Atikim. Kinen hein toiren, because the oyla hein v'neyoyna kulan oylas divrei Rabbi Yehuda. V'chomam oymen kinen echad chatzav yechad oyla, because of the oyla kulan oylas. We have a machloikis exactly what these two pushkas were all about. Again, one is called kinen, the other is called goyzolei oyla. According to the Tanakhama, kinem means toirim, because the oila means v'neyoyin, meaning that when you wanted to go and bring an oif as a carbon to Beis Midrash, you could not bring kosher chickens, you could not bring geese, you could not bring ducks, even though all of these, of course, you can eat outside the Midrash, assuming that you have a proper shochet, hushachts, and you do the malicha and all the rest, but you could not bring them for karbanos. What you could bring for a carbon was a toir or ben yoina. One a toir is called a turtle dove, and ben yoina is called a pigeon. Fine. Not the pigeons that we have here in Riverside Park, but a different type of pigeon. Fine. Anyways, it's a toir or ben yoina. The way Rabbi Yehuda's learning is that when it says kinim, it means the toirim. Now, when a person says, I am bringing a korban, an oif, or an oilas oif, you can only be menadev an oilas oif. You can't be menadev chatas oif, because a chatas is only baal echet. So if you want to be menadev a korban, oilas oif, you can bring either a toir or ben yoyin. Zoktach dor Reb Yehuda, therefore one of the pushkas was for those people that were menadev a toir. They didn't actually buy a toir, but they knew that a toir in the marketplace costs $10, so they put $10 into the Toirim Pushka, called the Kinim Pushka. Or if you wanted to go and bring a Ben Yoina, then you would go and put money into the Gozole Oila Pushka. Why, according to Yehuda, is the Toirim Pushka called a Kinim is not clear, because a Kan means a pair, and we're not talking about pairs. He's just putting in a money for one toir. Of course, you can put in money for two toir, and for five toir. Sure, that's not a problem. So why it's called Kinim is not clear. And Rabbi Yehuda doesn't address that. The Gemara doesn't address that. And the Gozoli Oila is referring to the Bnei Yoina, which is a separate class of these Oifois. So Toirim here, Bnei Yoina there, Kulan Oila is the Rabbi Yehuda.
You were giving this for people who couldn't afford it?
What do you mean?
This is a
person who's bringing a nedava. He could, of course, stand there and wait. He can buy one, wait and give it to the kohen, stand there and watch as it's being brought. But a person that didn't have the time, and he did, however, want to bring these oilas oif, he would go and put the money into the pushka, enough money to go and cover a toir. He would say sayonara, go back to his daf, go back to Bismedish, go back to work, whatever. But he left the money there to be brought for the time.
So, and the dove is like a contribution?
And the dove is not only like, it is a contribution. But it's not a contribution like a person makes today into the tzedakah pushka. Nedava means a carbon that you're bringing b'neder or nedava. You're asking what's the difference between a neder or nedava. A neder means hari alai, and nedava is hari zu. But the point is that a person, from his own free will, wants to donate an oil as a oif, he has the right to do so. He doesn't have to bring the oif itself. He can bring the money, put it into the pushka, and the kahanim will afterwards take the money out and buy and bring these teirim on the mizbech. And no problem. Because all the oil is ben ayoin. Kulun oif is tibribi. Chum oimrem. No. Kinim implies that it's a kan. Kan means that it's a pear. So echad chat is yechad oila. And although our Mishnah doesn't address it directly, we're going to have more about this in the Gemara, there were four categories of people that had to go and bring such a kan: every zav, every zova, a yoledes aniya, because a yoledes ashira brought one oif and one kivsa, but when you're talking about a yoledes aniya, she brought two oifais, echatas oif and oifas oif, and finally a metzoira Oni. So Metzayra Oshi brought three behemoths. However, if he was an Oni, he brought two Oifais together with an Osham, which was a Keps.
And the Benoni and the Korban Olav Yared is...
We're going to talk about that shortly. So these individuals, they put in their monies, they had to go and bring a Ka. So, of course, if they wanted to stand in line and bring the two Oifais, give it to the Kayin, Kayin just Chatzas Oifais, that would be ideal, that would be great, that's wonderful. But if people wanted to just leave the money, they would leave money that would be the equivalent of two kabbonis, one for chatas oif, one oilas oif, put it into that pushka. That's the kinin pushka. The gezoli oila pushka was kulin oilais. Those were just oilais. A person wanted to benadad one or two or multiple oilas, would put the money into the gezoli oila pushka. Now, you heard that Barry asked a moment ago, what about is a fifth category, and those are the people that have to bring a carbon chatas oil of the yardin. Chatas oil of the yardin is for three particular various shvuas avis, Thomas Mikhail Shirosham and Shvuas Bitoy. If a person is wealthy, he brings the kizbas ira. If he's a bainini, he brings the shtei oifis. And if he's a nebuchad dalhul, dali dalis, then he goes and brings a carbon minchas choite. So the Mepharshim say we don't want to talk about a person like that because the other kabbanas that we're talking about are all machshirim and matirim, meaning the zav, the zava, the metzoyra, and the yoledes are bringing their carbon not because they did a chet. Even the metzoyra is not because he did a chet, because the metzoyra already had a kapara from the chet through the teras. They're only doing it to be matir themselves, to be able to go and eat from kachin. That's why we are not encouraging them specifically to stand there when the kabbanas are being brought. They have to put in the money and fine. However, the person that did a chet b'shoigig is bringing the chatas oif, oilas oif on the chatas oil of the yard, then we do not want him to put the money into the pushka. We rather want him to stand there as the kapar is being brought, so that will hopefully bring on to him hirhure tshuva, that he's not going to do a chet, even though it was a chet b'shoigig. Not all of them. One of them is yo b'shoigig, nish b'shoigig. But the point is, we don't want people to do chatoim and just figure, okay, I'll pay the penalty and move on. No. We don't want him to put the money into the pushka. Rather, he should stick around. Anyway, that's why he should zuk the meiri. That's why we didn't list him as part of the original list. So, getting back to our Mishnah, so according to Chum, so the word kinim now is a little bit more appropriate according to Chum because it's a kan, it's a pear. The gazoli oila, the second pushka, which is called gazoli oila. Oyla is a bissel shver according to Chachamim, because goizolim typically is referring to the bnei yoina. Goizol means a small pigeon, but this was used for both toyrim and bnei yoina. So both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim have a little bit of a problem with the titles on these pushkas. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the problem is why is the first called kinin when in fact that's not a kan, a pear, it's just the toyrim. According to Chacham, it's a bissel shver, the gezoli oila, because gezoli oila suggests that it's only for bnei yoina. But according to the Chacham, in fact, the gezoli oila was used for both for toyrim and for bnei yoina. Okay. Anyway, on to the next. Ha'im hari alai eitzim. The person says, I'm taking upon myself to go and bring eitzim l'ma'aracha. Yivchois mishnei gezir. The minimum amount that he should put in the pushka is the amount it would cost to go and buy two logs. We'll see in the Gemara the dimensions of those logs. Whatever it happens to be, whether it's $5, $10, $20, put it into the pushka. Levoina, if a person says, I'm going to go and buy levoina, lo yivchois mi koimitz. The minimum amount of levoina should be a kmitza. And in fact, as we'll see, Mitchum and the Omid Beis, the makor for that is because when do we find Levoina being given as pure Levoina, not as part of the Mincha? Pure Levoina was on the Shnei Bezicha Levoina by the Lechem Haponim. And each one of those Bezichim had to have a minimum of a Kmitza, a Koimitz of Levoina. So if you're a Menad of Levoina, go and give a minimum of Koimitz. How much is a Koimitz of Levoina? $5, $10, $20. You put it into the Pushkin. Zav leYifresh meDinah Zav. If you go and make a pledge to give Zav, you should go and put into that pushka at least a dinner Zav. And then Shishlu Nedav. Nedava Mahu Yoisimba. What did they do with the Nedavos? Again, they brought Lichimba Oilos. They brought Kabbanis Oila on off days in the Beis Hamikdash, like Hayetz and Mizbeach. Habasa Lashem. Basa like every Oila, all the Avarim, Aymarim, the whole thing, Kula Kol on the Mizbeach. With the exception of the skins went to the Kohen. And the Mora tells us, Zemedish Dorish, you're the Kohen God. The Pasuk doesn't say Beferish in the Torah that the Oirois of the Oilois go to Kohen. It does say that you go and put the Oila Kula Kol on the Mizbeach. But it doesn't say about the Oirois going to the Kohen. And therefore, you're the Kohen God made the following drasha. It says, Oshem, who? Oshem, Osham, Lahashem. Now, the word Oshem, as you see, is repeated three times in this Pasuk. Sounds a little bit redundant, but it's more than that. Oshem Hu sounds like it remains Rav Yossi Yehei, it's going to remain an Oshem, but it then says, you give it Lashem. And therefore says the Gemara Zeakah, Koshehu Ba Mishum Chatas, U Mishum Ashama, Yilkach Behen Oilois. Anything that comes for the Chatas or for the Oshem, you bring an Oilois. That doesn't sound right. You bring a Chatas and Oshem, you bring a Chatas and Oshem. What the Gemara means to say is, what the Mishnah means to say is, anything that is bought mi moiser hachatas or mi moiser ha'asham, you originally set aside $300 to buy in chatas or to buy in asham, and you come to the store, they have a clearance sale, it's only cost that day $250. So you have an extra $50 from the chatas, an extra $50 from the asham. What do I do with this moiser? Can I just put it back in my pocket or in the bank account? And the answer is no, that since you set it aside for the chatas and for the asham, therefore, that money has to now be used. Yikol ben oila, you go and use it for a carbon oila, and this carbon oila will be hakbaser lashem va'oyis lekahan. Ah, so therefore, the way Yehoyada is darshing the pasuk is that the first part, the oshem hu, means that the skin of this former oshem, not really a former oshem, but the moiser oshem, that's going to be given to the kahan. It's going to remain in its place. However, the other part, which is the baser oshem lashem, that's going to be given to the Kodesh Baruch Hu. You're going to put it on the mizbeach, like the Mishnah says. Nimtu shnei ksuvim kiyamin oshem lashem v'oshem l'koyin. Half of the oshem. Again, we don't mean the oshem itself. What we mean is the moiser oshem and the moiser chatzas. Half will go to Hashem. Half goes to the koyin. He gets the oilays, because Baruch Hu gets the basa. The oil may have a similar basa, kesef Hashem, kesef chatas, layuva beis Hashem. When you have extra money of the Hashem, the extra money of the chatas, don't bring it for a carbon beis Hashem. It means don't bring it for a carbon Hashem or chatas beis Hashem. But rav lekihanim yil, not that you hand over the money to the kahanim, but they will get the oilays from the oilays from these moiser hakesef of Hashem and the moiser kesef of the chatas. So, Kimura Tanya, we spoke about the Kenan and the Goizoli Oila. Now, there's a fundamental difference between the Kenan and the Goizoli Oila, in that a Kan, when you're talking about bringing a pair, and you're talking about that it's obligatory, it's a Choyva to bring a pair, each time it's always a Chatas Oif together with an Oilas Oif. Masha Inkin, if you're talking about bringing Goizoli Oila, by definition that's Oilas, it's all Oilas. What's the Chilik? So Kimura Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, remember, learned that Kenan means the Toirim, and Gezali Oila were for the Bnei Yoina, and therefore, according to him, there was no special pushke for the Chatzos combined with Oilasa Oif as a pair. There was no such thing. Says Rabbi Yehuda, Lehoye Shoifer Shal Kenan B'Yishalayim. They didn't have what we normally think of the Kan, of the Chatzos Oif and the Oilasa Oif, but Neyata Ruvis. What does he mean? Neatulis shematamus achas v'nimtzu d'mechatois meisois mu'urovois behem. Maybe one of them is going to die. When we say one of them, we don't mean one of the oifois. We mean one of the people that are bringing these oifois. Typically, the people that were bringing these oifois were women, because the zava was a woman. She brought women become zava frequently, as well as Yoldesim, Baruch Hashem. Women have children, Baruch Hashem. So they brought, they were the major people that brought you. How many Mitzrayim did they have? And even if you had a lot of Mitzrayim, how often did they get their Tiras off, and therefore they're bringing Kabbalahs? And Azav presumably was not a frequent occasion either. That's why you see the next price talks about a Tanya Isha Shomer. Of course, it applies to a man too. It's just the typical bringer of these oifois would typically be a woman. Anyway, so what happens if Cholila v'chas, a woman put in her money for a full kan, a kan being both a chatas oif and a oifos oif, and then Rachmon al-Islan, she was walking down the street, and a bus came and didn't see her. She didn't see the bus didn't see her, and never holcholi oilama. Now we have mixed in with these ones in the kan, we have mixed in, unfortunately, to mechatois meisais. The chatos of the meisa, nebuch the balim, passed away. So, just like you cannot bring the chomish chatois meisais, they all go the misa. Here it's money, so the money wouldn't go the misa, you have to go and throw it into the yamim. And since it's mixed together with all the others, all the rest will also have to go to the Yam HaMelech. So you're going to tell me, why doesn't it be Kumbatl Baroiv? And the answer is...
Davish of a Minyan. There's nothing more Davish of a Minyan than money.
The money is a very Davar Chashuv, as we all know. That's the whole world this runs around money, unfortunately. And therefore, it doesn't become Kumbatl. And now all of these Shkolim now have to go... At Shkolim, all the money that's inside this Pushkin, we're going to have to go Lemisa, we're going to have to go Yam HaMelech. So therefore, says Rabbi Yehuda, it's not a good idea to have such a shayfa. Frank, more about time, you have a brayser. Oh, isha she'om harav kan, meviya d'mei kan. She brings the amount of her kan. She doesn't have to bring the actual oifis themselves, but she brings it to me. Well, even though it says harei olai kan, we're not referring to a net and a dove situation. We're talking about she's bringing a kan for her choiva. So she brings it to me kan, and it's also showing you pilsin in the shayfa. The oicheles bekodshim. And the other Gemara says, like, "Chalas b'kodshim l'erev." At night, she can go and eat b'kodshim. Ve'ein chasheshes. She doesn't have to worry. Shem nisatzel bohem that he was atzlus on the part of the kahanim, because all the kahanim brought it. Kahanim is reason name. So by the end of the day, there was a chazaka that they finished off all the mice. If you look at the carbon eight at the top line, you see in the middle of the top line, ve'ein chasheshes shem nisatzel ben the chazaka al bezin she kahanim she einan oim the mishal machiichlu kol moishaloi the shayver. After all, these people that are bringing it, for instance, this Isha who's bringing it, wants to eat kachim, cannot eat kachim, because even though she's gone to the mikvah 150 times, it doesn't help. She's still a mechuseres kapara until she brings the kachim. So she put the money in the pushka. How do I know that these money's going to be brought today as kabbalas? Chazaka, they're going to bring it today. So therefore, by the time she gets home, it's already nightfall. She can be certain that the kabbanas were brought in during the day. Nothing to worry about. She doesn't have to worry. And the kohen doesn't have to worry. Shema d'mei chatois meisus moravus ben. That maybe Chas v'Shalom, one of the women that brought the money and put it in the pushka today, maybe nebuch she passed away today, and therefore we may have dechon chatois. So shouldn't the kohen have to go and keep tabs on all the women and all the people that put money into the kinim box for the reason that maybe Chas v'Shalom someone passed away? No. You don't have to worry. Here Rav Yehuda says, I am worried. Oh, Shema Thomas. Here it says, Vatanya, that I'm not worried, to make up your mind. Am I worried? Am I not worried? Zokti Marki Kamrinan v'chatoi shemesu balein v'adai. When the Gemara said that Rav Yehuda is concerned, not that Rav Yehuda is saying that every day I'm nervous and maybe someone passed away today. You don't have to have such speculation. Hopefully everybody's alive and well. What Rav Yehuda is saying is, we might hear during the day a report of a Vaday Dika woman that passed away. And if a Vaday woman passed away, so I have here money, some of the money is Dmei Chatois Mesis, Muravis Ben. That's a problem. However, this second Braisa is saying, does a Kohen have to go and immediately send out emails to the world or keep a recording or report?
Contact tracing.
A contact trace, exactly. So you have to have a WhatsApp to try to find out whether everybody that brought the money and put it into the pushka, did they have to register? No, you don't have to worry about it. If you heard, then of course you have to be nervous. And that's what Rebbe is saying. I'm concerned that we may hear such a terrible report. and then all these monies are going to be for waste. They're all going to be Yam HaMelech, and we won't be able to bring the kabbanis, and we won't be able to advise all the people that brought their money. Rabbi said, we can't bring it. You are all relying on the chazakah bezin shel kehanim that they're going to go and bring all the monies for kabbanis. We won't be able to bring these monies.
You're on the hook for another set of kabbanis because it's all puzzle.
Exactly right, and you won't be able to eat kachim or not. You know, you assume everything is fine. The lady goes home and she's eating kachim. Maybe they didn't bring the carbon after all. So that's what the Gemara says. If you heard Vadai, that's a problem. But if you didn't hear it, you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to be choishes. Speculate, maybe, maybe.
Even Rameir?
Gemara doesn't talk about Rameir. Ski kamrin mechatoi shemes baleim vadai. Zok Gemara, v'yomrinan, I have another eitzah. Nivra dalet zuzi, v'nishdi b'nahara, v'idach lishteri. Why don't we just go and say, yesh breira, pull out four zuzim, the Gemara is assuming that that's the value of the two oifos, take that four zuzim, and just throw it into the Yam HaMelech, and then say, I am Mavar Lamafreya, that these four were the ones for the woman that passed away. Vidach Lishter, maybe you could work this according to other Tanoim and Amiran, but we have throughout Chas, Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold the Breira, and so therefore this Eitzah won't work according to Rabbi Yehuda, and that's why he said, don't have these pushkis for the choiva monies, only have it for voluntary monies.
So it's only, not only by king and by a leda, any for carbon.
Mm-hmm.
But with the chattas combined.
Right.
It has to have a chattas.
Oh,
okay. Right. All the other kabbanis, the other six, the dovas were all oilers. If a person passes away and leaves over among his possessions animals that he had consecrated for the mashal and oila, or for a shlamim, then the children or the executor or the guardian, he can go and bring them. There's no problem. However, if he leaves over a chattas or an oshim, he cannot bring those karbanos. In fact, the chattas, it has to go to misa, and oshim has to go to raya, to grace. That's all wonderful if you only have one behema or one oif on its own. Here we're talking about that it got mixed into numerous other karbanos because everybody put their money in the same pushka. So if one of the people passed away, then some of the money that he or she put into the pushka is the mei chatois, now chatois meisois, meisu ba'leah, that passels all the other funds inside that pushka. Okay, so now we're going back to the rest of our Mishnah. We finished the Kinim and Grisoli Oila, and now we're talking about a person that put money into the Eitzim Pushka. So the Mishnah used the example that if a person says, Hare Olai Eitzim, he has to give a minimum of Shnei Gezirin, the value of two logs that you would use on the Marach. Says Rabbi Yisbeir Bun, Omer Rav Bo Bar Mamul, Boi Omar, or maybe it's Rebaba Bar Mamul Boy Omar. The Gemara is saying is he asked the following shayla: Hari Olai Eitz, what do you do then? Zokti Gemara, maybe Gizer Echad. In other words, when it says in our Mishnah two, it doesn't mean that the minimum amount that you have to give for a carbon Eitzim is two Eitzim. That's only because he said Hari Olai Eitzim. If he says Hari Olai Eitz, then he can bring one Gizer, and that's fine too. It puts in the amount for one lock. Amra Blaze, Amra Bluza, Masisa Amra Kain, Shizek Korban Bethne Atzmai, Shizek Korban Bethne Atzmai. The reason is because it's very simple. Each log is considered to be a carbon on its own. Why do you say that? Ki did Tanin, like we learned. Come on. Shnayim, Biyodim Shnei Gizizrei Eitzim. This is Mitchem, we're going to learn more about this in Masechtas Yuma. It talks about the pious that they used in the morning and for Avodis in the afternoon. And therefore it says over there that when it came to taking the Shnei Gizri Eitzim in the afternoon, the Gemara says that in the morning one person took both, but in the afternoon he had two individuals, two kahanim, one brought one gezer, one brought the other gezer. So it says, Shnei Biyodim Shnei Gizri Eitzim, meaning respectively, carrying two Gizri Eitzim. So the fact that each kohen is taking another gezer is a symbol that each one has a status on its own, and therefore you can be menadev one gezer, no problem. Another riot is because it says korban l'rabbis it's eitzim. Now what means korban l'rabbis it's eitzim? Where does it say in the Torah that you can be menadev a korban eitzim? The truth of the matter is, it doesn't say. However, there is a pasuk in the Torah, ki sakrif korban mincha, and the Gemara asks elsewhere in Menachos, why does it have to say korban? It could say ki sakrif mincha. Why does it say korban mincha? The extra word korban comes to tell you that you can bring something else besides a korban mincha. But the question is, So who says that means Eitzim? So the Karban Eida, the Karban Ha'Eida says, because I have another Pasik, V'ha'Gerolis Hipalnu Al Karban Ha'Eitzim. Ah, so I see that there is a nomenclature, this is Karban Ha'Eitzim, and this is Kisak of Karban Mincha, so I have an extra word Karban to tell you that this is a reference to Eitzim, that you can go and bring Eitzim is a special carbon, and if you recall, the one Menachas has even one Mandiyamar, I'm not sure whether it's Rebbe or someone else, that says that you have to go, number one, and number two, that you have to go and do a kmitza on the Eitzim.
Yes.
Since we're saying that this Eitzim is based on the carbon mincha, just like a mincha, you have to do a kmitza. Kmitza means taking three fingers of the flour. Here you have to go and take some of the eight and transform it into sawdust. And you have to go and pick up the sawdust in your three fingers, and you do a kmitza.
Yeah, hold on.
Yeah, no problem.
Wood is a carbon?
Yes. Wood is a carbon.
Exactly what we're talking about. Yeah, okay. I heard it.
You heard it loud and clear.
So, okay.
Not only wood is a carbon, it should be a carbon, and it could be a carbon. Wood. Yes, it's a carbon.
Sure would. The family that from Binyamin that donated the Eitzim when the second was Hamikdash, they had a private holiday on the 10th of Av because it was considered so chashuv to donate Eitzim.
Mm-hmm. We had this earlier. Good. Now with that mishpacha, there were nine altogether. Son of Binyamin. Yeah, absolutely. So getting back to our Gemara, so each one is a carbon from the Atzmoy, and that's why you can go and bring one guesser. So the Gemara is saying carbon, the Rabbi says Eitzim, so we see that eights is a carbon on its own, so even one eight, it doesn't have to be multiple eights in Israel. Fine, Reb Shuba Levi Omer, let's talk about the dimensions. What is the size of the log that you are donating? Oivi an Amma, the thickness was an Amma, but the Amma Soichekes, that means that it was a wide Amma as opposed to a restrained, constrained Amma. We have Amma Sochkes and Amma Otzvois, which means that you look upon the Amma, you'll remember that yesterday Ed demonstrated for us a tefach, that it was like a fist, exactly. So now when you're thinking of a tefach, a fist, you can have a tefach where the fist, the fingers are closely clenched together, or you can have where the fingers are, have slight space between one and the other. So the sochkis means like it's a smiling tefach, and when you say oitzis, it means it's a frowning tefach. Because if you ever see a person who smiles, you see how his face expands because of the smile. Exactly. When it frowns, then you see it gets kind of contracts. So now we're not talking about a tefach, we're talking about an amma, but amma means an amma of six tvachim, which are soichkeis. So therefore it's a wider amma, it's not a precise amma, it's an amma 0.005 or something. It's a little bit wider than your regular amma. That's in terms of the thickness. For orkan, in terms of the length, the amma geduma, here it's in fact considered to be a truncated, a shorter amma, slightly less than an amma. Why is that? Because as we'll see in a moment, because the maracha had to be amma al amma, and you don't want that the wood should stick out from the maracha. The reason why you didn't want it to stick out is because the whole maracha, the whole top of the mizbeach in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu, where we had a smaller mizbeach than we had in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, the entire maracha on the top was 5x5 ammas. And the first 1x1 amma, that was the makam karanois. Then the next one, right after that, was the mokim of the hiloch hakehanim. The kahanim had to walk around. So therefore, the only thing that you were left with on the top of the mizbeach was now a marach of 1x1. Because you had, to the right, you had 1 and 1. And to the other, to the left, you had 1 and 1. That's how you had the 5 across. And this is the middle, 1x1. So if you're going to have any part of the wood of the marach sticking out, this would interfere with the hiloch hakehanim, the kahanim that are walking around to go and put the to fix the fire and to take the deshen and all the rest. So you want to make sure that it's nicely compacted, so it's got to be a drop less. So it's 0.999 amma as opposed to 1 amma or 1.0.
So why was the thickness because that wouldn't intrude on their space?
Exactly right.
Okay.
100% right. Rav Chaim b'shem Rav Ami k'min
tortini. It was very small. It was very thin, then you're saying.
What's very thin?
The Israelites. What are you talking about here?
You're already one step ahead of us. You're talking about the tortini. But before we get to the tortini, until now the Gemara said of Shulman Levi said that the thickness of each one of these eitzim was an amma. That's quite thick.
You're talking
about approximately 2 feet, 1.5 to 2 feet, the thickness. Okay. That's a thick log. However, the log was short. It was a drop less than a full amma. That was a good Shulman Levi. But Reb Chuni says, no, it was k'min tortini. What means tortani? Tortani, if you look at the carbon eda, go up about five lines from where we are in the Gemara, and you see it says kimin tortani. Kana moiznai. What means kana moiznai? If you've ever been to a market where you have two scales on the two sides, like you go to the Shukin Machan Yehuda, right? Shukin Machan Yehuda. You see, on one side they put in the liter or whatever the weight is,
the kilo,
and the other side they go and put in the grapes or the tomatoes or whatever you're buying, and until they weigh each other till they become equate. Oh, very good, or a little bit more than equate.
Sure. They have electronic
ones. And that's what they have today, but they are amul. In the alter tzad. Anyway, so the rod that held up the two sides of the scale, that was called a tortani, and that was much thinner than the oivyon amma that we're talking about, and therefore it's machlokes, in fact, what the thickness of the log had to be for purposes of the marach. The reason why you had to have an amma geduma, because since the whole marach was one amma by one amma, that's why the amma that it was, the length had to be slightly shorter than an amma. The Tani came, in fact, we learned in the Braisa, amma hayesoid, amma soidim, amma karkiv, amma kronis, the amma marach, all of these were shorter ammas. The amma yesoid, of course, is down below. The soidim is that ledge that's sticking out from the side of the mizbeach. The amma karkiv, Karkov has two definitions, but here the Karkov means the Mokum Hiluch HaKehanim on the top of the Mizbech, and the Koronis, which of course were the corner stones on top of the Mizbech, and therefore that was Amal Amma, and the Koronis was Amal Amma, so you couldn't have anything sticking out. The Maroch itself was an Amma, that's why it has to be Amma Geduma, not to interfere with the Kehanim walking around the Mizbech and adjusting the flames or adjusting the Maroch.
Yeah. That means one Amma by one Amma, each corner?
Exactly like you said. Boy, you are really on top of it today.
I'm
relieved that you're here. You can listen. Yeah. Okay, continue on. Levoin liifchus mikoymetz, a minimum of levoin, you have to go and put into the pushka the equivalent of a kmitza. Kmitza means the amount that you can enclose in three fingers. Zokti umara, nemer kan askar, benemel halan askar, ma askar, omer halan, maloi koymetz, af askar, lemer kan, maloi koymetz. What does the Gemara mean? If you have the two askarais, so once again, we have the benefit of carbon eder goes and fills us in. It's about a line or two higher than where we are in the Gemara. Nemer kan, gabe levoina de lechem aponim. By the lechem aponim, we have the shnei bezicha levoina. It says, askara, dechsim nasata al hamarocha levoina zaka, vohisa lechem li askara. Oh, it says askara. Menem alalun gabe mincha. If a person brings a regular carb mincha, in addition to the mincha, you have to add levoina. The kamatz misham meloi kamtsa misolta umishalna al kol levoina sa, or on the levoina. Veikdar koina as askara sa hamizbecha. Ah, so therefore, just like the askara by the shnei bezicha levoina, that was kamatz, and here it says also askara. Askara. So we learn from that it has to be a shear of a kamitz. So levoina liyifchus mikamtsa. The mekana askara and mazgana. If you're learning it from lechem abanim, then why don't you say you have to two kamtzin because you have shnei bezicha levoina? So say that every time that you want to menadev a levoina, you have to menadev two kamitzes. Av askara murakan shnei kamtzin. Om Rav Ila klum lamdu lekoymetz elam minchas choyte. Here you see in the parentheses it says milechem aponim miminchas chayte. Malalon koymetz a chaser pasul afkan koymetz a chaser is pasul. What does the Gemara mean to say? So again, the carbon eda comes to the rescue and explains. When you have the shnei bezicha levoina on top of the lechem aponim, each one of them had to have a kmitza. What happens if one of them had 0.75 of kmitza and the other had a 1.25 of the kmitza? So if you added the two together, you had two full kmitzas. However, one of the two was chaser; it was only 0.75. Possible, because we are not mitzvah of the two together to say that we have a full kmitza. Ah, so you see from that that each one has to be a full kmitza on its own. Ah, so therefore, just like the lechem upon, and we learned that for the minchas chayte, it's got to be a full kmitza on its own. Therefore, we say over here, you only have to have one kmitza and not two. Let's take a quick look at the carbon eder.
What's the source of minchas chayte? That's
okay, look on the side. Klum lomdu lekaymitz levoina elim lechem upon. Bas min shiye kol kaymitz vefnei atzmai mole minchas min menu bas Shemamina avagav de bitstarfus yesh shnei komtze. You're going to say any yeser. One is chos and one is yeser. For the achi pasul ki deofina minchas chayte, because when minchas chayte it says the komtz misham meloy komtzoy, so it's got to be a full kaimitz. Shemamina chol kaimitz karvav neatzvay. So I see from this that the din of the kmitza has got to be a full kmitza, and each kmitza is on its own. You don't look at its companion, and therefore here too, when you are giving levoina, you go and give a kmitza levoina, and you don't have to give two. Amr Yosef Milton Rabila Amra Hamisnadev Levoina Mevia Bekumtzay Shel Koyin Gadol. Notice the word Gadol is in parentheses. Now what does that mean? Person who's menadev levoina b'fnei atzma, just as a present to bring levoina, then it has to go and fill up the koimitz of a koyin who has large dimensions.
The largest koyin.
The largest koyin that's working that day in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, because since it has to be like kumtzoy, you're not allowed to make a midah. Rather, every koyin, it depends on his own hand. You've got to give him a hand. And each koyin has a different size hand, right? Just like all non-koyanim have different size hands. So you don't know exactly how big or how much you're going to need. You have to go and bring the amount for the maximum size of a koyin that day who's working the Beis Midrash. And that's why the word gadol is in parentheses, to tell you we don't mean koyin gadol in the standard spiritual sense, but we mean the koyin gadol means a person who has the physical dimensions of the oig melech haboshen type of koyin. Big guy, 7'3". He would be excellent in the basketball, right? To be able for the Knicks or Yankees or whatever the team is called. Sorry?
He's to hold the basketball.
He has to be able to hold the basketball. He has to be able to hold a full kmitza in his hat.
Is it right, though, that we should have your shiurim based on people's...
More asset often.
Yeah.
Right.
Shiurim are usually fixed, not relative to people. I mean,
yeah, but since the Torah says it has to be kumtzoy means the koyin that's doing that. This is not just halacha over here. This is across the board. Every single time you bring karam mincha, and the person doing the kmitza does a kmitza with his three fingers. Your normal karam mincha, of course, is in his sarai.
Right, exactly. That's a fixed and amount, and no matter how, if it's og melech habashan size koyin, he's still going to be able from when he's serving to take a kmitza. So
that's correct. And here the Gemara is saying, yes, since I'm learning Askara from the dinim of the Kmitzis of by the Mitzchus Chaytayim.
Which doesn't have Levona at all, by the way.
Yeah,
ironic, it's ironic. It doesn't have any Levona.
It's true. But nevertheless, since we're learning out from the other, it's got to be Moloi Kumtzis. Yeah, it has to be the Koyin God. What Reb Chizkiya says, B'shem Rabbi Yemi Afila B'Koyin Mitzabalim. Even the Koyin Mitzabalim doesn't mean the size of the Kmitz of the Balim, but rather says the Korban Eider, the Balim have the right to choose any koyin from that mishmor that they want to choose, to go and give it to them. And so therefore, whoever the balam chooses, either meaning mo, or they might choose to go and take the koyin who's of the smallest dimension, right. So they have a smaller kmitza. Now, the question is, why does the Tana Kama, why does the first Tana say, or Yosef of Ila, why does he say it has to be dafka, the koyin gadol, while the other one says you can go and give it to anyone?
Right.
Because the answer is, we're learning it from Lechem Panim. And Lechem Panim, which we're going to learn, it was based on who was the ones that were in charge of taking off the Lechem Panim and being makter, the Levoina. It was done al pi pious. And since I don't know in advance which coin is going to win and which one coin is going to lose, so therefore you have to assume it's going to be the largest coin in terms of its dimension. And we're learning the Levoina from there. Hopefully we see a Mishum tonight.
8 o'clock.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Hatzloch, have a wonderful day. Anyway, so that's Lagabi, the case of the Lechem Panim, which we learned from, and Stam B'Payis. So here too has got to be the greatest coin. Well, the other man, the Yama, says no. By that kmitz and by that taktorif and the levoyin was tak abi pious. But over here, the balam of the right to choose anybody they want, there's no pious involved over here. So I don't learn all the dinam. It's like, you know, the Gemara say, minei minei or minei v'okei ba'asrei. So therefore, whoever the pop, look at the Karmen A, the parallel to our Gemara. Ha'misnadiv, levoyin and medivah, come to shulkayin God, vachi perush, v'rialif, v'milechem upon him, uva pious na'asa, v'li dinai koyin misrami. You don't know which koyin. You gotta have a logic. But the other man says, we learn from the Karb Mincha. So the Koimitz Balam means whoever the Balam chooses among the Kehan. Yes, sir.
So we're learning from, what's the word,
Pai?
Oh, no question.
Good, excellent. So On to the next one. It says
it's
Mishnah.
It's variable.
It's variable.
I was talking about something completely different.
Zahav li, was it
in her club? Yahedish alo yoyna.
And therefore?
Therefore, she always nachman kemitza. Since kemitza is actual.
Yad al yoyna is a gabbay, whenever you have a business transaction with the Beis HaMikdash, they always win in a supply contract.
Yeah, there too.
The kemitza, you also share them. That goes to
here the Torah says, the question is, which coin are we referring to when we say Mekumtza? So if you say it's a pious, it means you have to assume and speculate the biggest coin that day. And if you're talking about just being Menadav, you can go and select any coin that you want to give the Levoina to, for him to do the Kemitza.
No, it's not the coin that day, it's also Mishmar that week, actually, right?
By Levoina, person Menadav at that day.
And the day, okay.
I mean, I'm assuming that they, just like we said, by the Kinnun and goes over the other, that they emptied out every day. Maybe they didn't empty it every day. Maybe they emptied it out every week, once a week. Because if they emptied it out once a year, then you'd have to have the biggest coin of any Mishmar for that 24 Mishmar.
Right. Can we resolve why we're using the largest man?
We've resolved because...
Largest hand. Can be small man with large hand.
Why a larger... You mentioned standardization of measurements. So why that moment?
That's the pious. When we're explaining the pious in the end.
So the pious, you'll see that every day they would take and they would have a lottery and pick out who got to do which avoda.
But what if it's not the largest man?
That it isn't. That's how it falls out. That's how the pious,
works.
Well, what if we needed the largest man? Because
you don't need it. However it falls out, that's how it falls out. That's how it's intended to be.
So it's not so.
And we continue on. Zav lo yifchais. Mi dinner zav, said the Mishnah. Omer Rebluza, Rusha Hiske Tzur. The word Tzur over here means Magdeya, like the Tzar to Kesav Yoch. So if he says, I'm going to go and give gold, money, a gold coin, then it has to be, the minimum has to be a dinner zav. He says, I'm getting gold. Maybe after the tzinur, he can go and bring enough gold to be able to manufacture a small little fork. What would you use a small little gold fork for? For instance, to go and take out the wicks from the
menorah.
And the assumption is that the amount of gold in such a tzinur is less than the amount of gold in the dinner zav. So conceivably, you could give less than a dinner zav if you didn't say matbeya, you just said zav. And then we said, Amisha Shishal Nadava, six pishkas for Nadava. Vos epis six. We have a machlokes. Cheski Yom Keneged Shisha Bati Ovos, because there's six Bati Ovos in every Mishmar. Because the seventh day on Shabbos, everybody worked. So you took, if there were 60 Kahanim in that Mishmar, 10 worked on Sunday, 10 on Monday, 10 on Tuesday, and so on and so forth. They had 6 days, and then on the seventh day, everybody did the avoided together. It wasn't that much avoided to do, because it was only the two Tamidim and the Musafim. You didn't have any Nedarim and Nedavis, Chatoyis, or Shabbos, but everybody else worked on the seventh day. So you had the Shishim, but the Avois, and you had six Pushkas. Now what's the reason why you had the six Pushkas in the Mepharshim? Because, unfortunately, people are only human, even Kehanim are only human, and you might have a little bit of competition. What's the competition? Sunday, maybe you had a lot of people coming into the Beis Hamikdash, bringing tons and tons of kabbanis, and therefore they didn't need to use any money from the pushkis for the kites and the bech, because Baruch Hashem, it was a full day. Monday, however, was a rainy day, and people had to run to work, and guess what? He only had a few people, few stragglers coming in, and to go and make the mizbeach plentiful, you had the kahanim of that day took lots of money from the pushkis to bring more and more karbanos. And then by Tuesday, there was very little money left in the pushkis, and Tuesday was also an off day. So they were having complaints, hey, why did you use all the money that day? Well, there was nobody here. Well, yeah, but nobody here today. And the Sunday people said, how come you're getting all of these oilois? Because oilois involve getting oilois. Oilois are the skins. Skins, apparently, that was a nice income for the Kahanim. And the people on Sunday say, all right, how come we don't get the benefit of the oilois? Well, you had plenty of kabbalas. You had the kabbalas that we had today with shlamim. And we can't eat that much shlamim. How much can you eat already? And you can't store it. It's got to be eaten. Fine, but that's it. The oilois we can go and use for 20 years is much, much better. And you used all the monies. Anyway, you can see that there could be, and so they said, yep, you have all these kabbalas. And they said, that was our mazel, that's because we're Erlich guys. You guys are lowlifes, and that's why you didn't have anybody, and that's why you're taking all the money from the pushkis. So you can see there could be some rancor. So you know what the Bez and Shukhan decided? You know what we're going to do? All monies that are going to be donated or used, whether it's a Moiser Chatas, Moiser Osham, or people stop donating money for Kites and Mizbeach, all those monies are going to be divided up six ways into the six pushkalach, and so therefore every pushkal will have the same amount, so the Sunday people can take, and the Monday people can take, and Tuesday people can take. This is to make sure that there wouldn't be machloikis among them. Bar Padiyah Omar Kineged Sheish Behemais. The reason why he had six pushkas is because some people want to be menadav or want to bring a carbon adava of a par, and some an ego, and some a soil, and some an ayil, and a tigun, and a tle. And there were different prices for each one. Each one had a different value. So he had six pushkas, and on each pushka, presumably it said par, and ego, and soil, etc. So if I wanted to go and donate a par, that would be the most expensive. Holy cow! I have to put in $500. For the ego, I only have to put in $250, and so whatever. So he had six pushkas for the six. Shmuel Amar Kineged Shisha Kabbalah. Now, what are the Shisha Kabbalahs? We have the parentheses, which confuse a little bit. Kinezovis is one, because that's the kan that's brought by the Zom and the Zovis. Then Kidiyoldis is two, that's a separate category. Number three is Chatois. Ashamas is four. Hamanochas is five. Basirza Eifa is six. So people could go and put in. Now, we don't mean to put in Chatas money and Osha money to bring a Karma Chatas and Karma Osha, because these are Nedovis Pushkas. We're talking about Moisera Chatas, Moisera Oshem. Each one of these, the Kinezov and the Moisera, and the Moisera and the Kinezov. Anytime a person is buying a Kan and has put away $50 to go buy two Eifers, he comes in or she comes into the store and they find that you, today, well, clearance sale. You only have to pay $40, you have $10 left. She put that into the Kinem Nedova Pushka. Kineyol, the same thing. She thought she'd have to pay $50, only cost $40. She puts it in hers. Same thing, Chatois, Hashem, Menachos, Sirus Eifa. Anytime anybody thought that Sirus Eifa is the Kohen Gadol, that Sirus Eifa, the Kohen Gadol himself, put away funds to buy the flour and to mull it and to grind it and to make him Sirus Eifa. And he himself had extra. That extra money also goes into the Sirus Eifa Pushka for Nedovis, for bringing extra kai from his bech. So all of these are extra monies, mice. Omer Yochanan. Al Yedeshis and the Dovah Meruba Riba Lashoy Fris Harbe. So Rabbi Yochanan has a much simpler answer, and he says, Rabbi Yisrael, you don't have to go and split it up because you have Shisha Batei Avos and Shesh Behemois and Shisha Kabbanis. That's very simple. Baruch Hashem, Klali, so there's so many people bringing Kabbanis all the time, as well as so much Moiser of the Chattas and the Moiser of the Oshem and all that. So it didn't all fit into one Pushka, so he needed six Pushkas. Everything else was relatively restrained or limited in terms of the volume of the money, but here, he had so much, he had six pushkas. It doesn't say why six, but apparently six was enough.
If there are too many in the receptacle, they could get rusty, corroded.
Okay, that's so also
that's
good.
One of the
questions, why six? Why not five? Why not eight? Why not ten? Well, apparently six did the trick, and that's what made they wanted to make 13 altogether. 13 is a special name, number, just like the 13
midos.
13 midos, and you have 13
shulchanos,
and the 13 ishtachavois, and 13 is bigamatria. Echad Aleph Ches Daled, that shows the Achzus. 13 is also Gematria of Ahava, the love, one Jew for the other, the Jew for Kaddish Baruch Hu, Kaddish Baruch Hu and Klai Yisrael. So maybe more spiritual, esoteric reasons. Fine, 13 is 13. Of course, people become
so it's not, so it's not a lucky number.
It's a wonderful number. They don't know what they're talking about. 13 is the luckiest number. That should be the floor that everybody wants to live on. A floor of Ahava, Achzus, and Bar Mitzvah, and all the Yigim and Midas. What do they understand? Anyway, also you have the good Yud Gimel Midas of Rabbi Shmuel in the morning, which everybody's favorite. Oh, we're on to Dami. Okay, except you have another pasuk. The reason why we're bringing this now is because since we had a drasha in our Mishnah from Yehoyada the Kohen Gadol, so we bring another drasha based in Yehoyada. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Manach, Rabbi Shem, Rabbi Yonis, and Omar, Shtei Nedovis Asa. Shtei Nedovis Asa means that he made two shofarois. And we're going to ask a stira, because in another place it says that they only made one shofar. So tomorrow I tell you, Rabbi Shmuel and the Dova Achas. Not that there were two shofarois, two Nedova Pushkas, but there was only one. Now, what were the two Nedova Pushkas were after four? After we had the 13 our Mishnah. So the Takan Charetim explains that they had two, one for the Bedek Habayis and one for the Klei Shoreis. The person wanted to go and give money for Bedek Habayis, that's for their repair and maintenance. And Klei Shoreis, the person wanted to donate for repair and maintenance for the Kaelin. So you have for those also two separate, according to Reb Shimon bar Nachman, Shem Reb Yonison, you had two for that. Shtein and Opsos. Tani, Dvei Reb Shmuel, and Reb Achaz, it was only one. Tichsir, Vayyam, Melech, Vayasu, Orin, Echa, Vayitneu, Beheichel, Beis Hashem. the yikar karbidata. So you only have orin echad. Orin echad means the one pushkin. I go to see by him another part of Yom HaMelech v'yasu orin echad v'yitnu b'shar beis Hashem chutza. Here it says they put it behechel beis Hashem, which means inside. There it says that it put it chutza, which means outside. So obviously there are two. So the chayyid of the first man, the Yomer, Rabbi Yonison was right. There were two in the davus, and he says only one in the davus. Every one of Avudim, they had tamei. What means of tamei? Unfortunately, there were people that were tamei, and so therefore, this could go even according to Rabbi Shmuel that there was only the davus achas. But since there were a lot of tamei, Yehuda said, you know what?
Split it.
Don't not split it, but don't leave it inside because the tamei won't be able to put the monies in. Take it outside and put it chutzah. So the one that was originally behechel beis Hashem was taken out. So that's because the Melech said, go and take it out. So you shouldn't have a problem. Reb Chuna b'shem Reb Yosef, ach le Yosef beis Hashem, si beis kesef, mazmonais. Don't go and make that beis Hashem. And therefore that also is telling us, because of the Tameim, they had to go and take it outside. Don't leave it inside. Shouldn't be beis Hashem, it should be Mechutz. Everybody should be able to put it in Tavis in. Hadlach Berek Yud Gimel Shoyfer, Hadlach Yud Gardus, Yud Gardus. And we start Mishim tonight. Moish Nimtu Ben Ashkol and the Nedov.
Yes, you can, yeah.
Zag, you bench everybody. Have a good
Amen.